Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 5 is where we'll be. Luke chapter 5. We'll begin there. We'll begin reading at verses 1, and we'll go through verse 11. Verses 1 through 11. Just want to follow up on a couple things. Mention that, of course, chili cook-off next week. And I want you to know, so let me tell you, this may have got around a rumor around church, and it is true. So Stephen's going to be out of town. All right? So it's open field. So if you were a little intimidated by entering this thing because of Stephen, I hear he's going to be out of town. So I'm just throwing that out there, all right? So let's get in there. We all have a chance. You got a chance, Donnie. You got a chance. Oh, man. And then, of course, Monday, February 4th, we have a global missionary that's coming, and we'll be joining with our Lugoff church family over there. And then something that Anna didn't highlight, I didn't tell her to, so that's why she didn't, but I'm not saying that she left something out. I'm just saying, I just thought about this. February 24th, we're having there's a meet and greet for our new district superintendent down at Sumter First. So that's at 3 to 4:30. And if you've just been, since July, if you've just been staying up at night thinking, man, I haven't met the new district superintendent at Church of Nazarene in South Carolina, and that's really been bothering you, you can go to this meet and greet. So I'll encourage all of us to go down February 20th. But you have to be back by 6. Yes, that's right. Back by 6. Thank you. Luke chapter 5, beginning with verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. One day, Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. The people were crowded around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything." Reminds me of what I said last time I went fishing. "But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they have done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and to help them. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Are you thankful? Father, we are indeed thankful for the reading of your word. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, Lord, may it be pleasing and acceptable to thee, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Have you ever had a moment in life where something happened that it just caused you to realize that how you've been doing that thing or how you've been doing something up to that point was just totally wrong? Have you just ever had like that light bulb moment where you realize, man, for the last 20 years, I've been doing this thing all wrong? Some of these moments can be kind of funny. Some of these moments, some of these life-changing moments, they can also be serious. One of the stories that Casey and I like to tell when we're doing premarital counseling is something that I learned that up until that point, I was just doing it all wrong. And when we got married, and one of them, and I've told this story before, so if you've been here 7 years, I've been here long enough that you're going to start hearing kind of our old stories probably again. I'm trying to live an exciting life so I get new ones. I'm trying really hard. I think this county council thing is going to produce a lot of good stories, all right? I'm just saying. But we got married, and I realized within the first, I think, just the first week, man, I'd been doing something wrong. And the way I've been doing it was totally wrong. And I was sitting there folding towels, trying to be a great husband, you know, folding towels, because that's just what I do. If I see a load of laundry there, I think to myself, man, that needs folded. I should fold that. That's just the kind of guy I am. Why is everybody laughing? Brandon believes me. So I'm folding these towels, and she goes, no, what are you doing? And I said, I'm folding towels. And we got these nice towels that have like a stripe on them. It's kind of sewn in or whatever. And I was just doing this, and she goes, no, this is how we fold towels, and it's not in this household. And it's like this and this, and the stripe shows. When you open the closet, you see the stripe, you know. Very cool. Just throwing it out there. I was very, very impressed. But from that moment on, I realized, hey, okay, I need to change kind of the way I was doing things. That's kind of a funny story. You may have more serious moments that you've had these epiphanies, or you've discovered that the way things have been are not going to be the same from now on. One of my favorite movies right now is this movie called The Greatest Showman. And saw it a year and a half ago in the theaters. And, man, just one of those movies. It's a lot of music, so if you're not into that, you know, you might not want to go see it, but it's really inspiring. One of those movies that you walk out, you're like, man, let's go take over the world. I mean, it's just a very inspiring movie. You know, you hear the soundtrack in your head as you're, like, going through your life. You hear it playing, you know. And it's this movie about P.T. Barnum and how he pretty much invented kind of the circus show as we know it. And, you know, the movie starts, as you would think, kind of dark, and he's trying to get through life. He's got married and has kids. He's trying to make a name for himself. And he's, I promise y'all, I'll give y'all a good life. And he's able to get some money on loan, and he's able to buy this museum that kind of transforms into what would become the circus show. And the main part of the movie is he gets all caught up in the success. He gets all caught up in trying to make money, and he forgets that his wife and his two kids, at the end of the day, they don't care. They don't care if he's P.T. Barnum of Barnum Circus. They don't care. And as you can imagine, these movies go, he has a moment where he feels like he's about to lose everything, and then the music starts. Dun, 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 dun. And then the last song is this song called From Now On, because he has this epiphany that from now on, I'm going to do things different. From now on, I'm not going to forget the ones who brought me here. From now on, I'm going to do things differently. And I feel like today's text presents us with a character, the character Simon Peter, and he has this from now on moment here as he encounters Jesus here at this lake, here at the Sea of Galilee. Luke calls it the Lake Gennesaret. It's actually the Sea of Galilee. Luke decides to give it his own name. It's kind of like some people call the Watery the Catawba. The correct folks, us folks down here in Kent, kind of, we call it the Watery. You know, so it could have been this body of water had just had several types of different names depending on who you were or where you were from. But so he's there at the Sea of Galilee, and it's a very significant turning point that we see. It's this from now on moment that Simon has. And in fact, this whole chapter 5, is multiple from now on moments for various individuals that Jesus is going to encounter. And we're going to unpack those as the weeks go on. But today we want to focus in on Simon Peter. You know, the last few weeks as we've been launching into Luke's gospel, I've noticed a few things, a few characteristics about Luke's style. We've talked about this, but we know that Luke's intent is to write an account of the gospel so that everyone understands that Jesus came for everyone, that it wasn't just coming here for the Jews, but he came so that everyone can experience this good news of the gospel. We also see in Luke's writing style, we see an emphasis on the words of Jesus. The literal words that Jesus speaks here, they have power, they have authority. When he speaks, things change. Things are different. So Luke, he takes time to help us see that Jesus is the Messiah, and it is proven by the very words that he speaks. It is proven that when he speaks, everything around him changes. Rather, it is the words that rebuke demons, or the words that speak sickness out of a woman's body, or maybe the words of teaching in the synagogue. No matter what the words or how they're being used, Luke is painting for us this picture that Jesus is indeed the Messiah who speaks the very words of the kingdom. And so as we unpack this text here, you look here at verse 1, and Jesus, he's standing by this lake. The people are crowded around him. So we find Jesus, he's out amongst the people. In fact, you could say, man, this is a very significant shift in Jesus, in his ministry that we see here. You see, because we're moving from the synagogues into the open air. The people were amazed at Jesus' teaching in the synagogue, so naturally he's drawing a crowd as he gets out among the general public there by the sea. And so you're asking yourself, well, what causes this significant shift? Why didn't he just stay in the synagogue? Well, last week, you know, we were reminded that could have been the comfortable thing to do. Also, if we use our sanctified imagination, which I think is okay, Jesus, he's getting very popular among the folks. He's been teaching in the synagogue, man. They are amazed at his words. So I would venture to make a sanctified guess that all the leaders, all the ones who usually preach in the synagogue, maybe they've said, hey, you need to go preach out there because you're sucking all of our air. Huh. You know, you're making us look bad. Why don't you get out there amongst the crowd? I don't know. Scripture doesn't say. But there's certainly a major shift in where Jesus is doing ministry here in Luke chapter 5. He goes around the sea there, and he makes a floating pulpit, if you will, out of Simon's boat. Simon's off to the side along with the others washing their nets. And you know, when you read this story, when you read this text, Luke doesn't give us this. He doesn't give us this inclination that this is the first time that Simon and Jesus have met. In fact, well, we know it's not, because in chapter 4, Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law. So there's been this interaction, which is kind of interesting. The Gospel of Mark paints this picture of Jesus who comes on the scene, proclaims the kingdom of God, and calls disciples. And disciples, man, they're going because he said the kingdom of God is near. Let's go. Luke gives us this picture that the disciples are drawn to Jesus by his words. Again, that's Luke's perspective. That's his emphasis to help us see that the words of Jesus have power and authority. So they're off to the side, and Jesus, he commandeers Simon's boat. How about that? Yeah, I don't know what Simon thought about that. He said, okay, help yourself, sir. So he gets in the boat, and when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, he says, put out, look at verse 4, put out into the deep water and let the nets down for a catch. So he's been speaking. Scripture says the people are still amazed by all he's saying. And at some point, Simon has gotten into the boat. And he looked at Simon and said, hey, let's go on out into the deep waters, he says. Jesus, he gives this invitation to Simon to put out in the deep waters. And I love, you see no hesitation from Simon Peter, do you? I mean, he's just like, oh, okay, cool, let's do it. He puts out, and in this single moment, these fishermen are invited to embark on a new mission that will dominate the rest of their days. Deep waters indeed. It doesn't take a Bible scholar. It doesn't take a great theologian. Of course it does. I'm the one preaching, so it doesn't take one, okay? It doesn't take a great Bible scholar to see the meaning here. There's more going on than just them going out into the deep waters. Jesus is inviting these fishermen into a radical journey. He's about to invite them on this awesome, this great adventure out into the deep water. Simon, he's being asked to take his life out into the deep. Simon, he's been given an invitation into a whole new life. Now, I'm just going to be completely honest and completely transparent here when I tell you this story. You know, when I was a kid, I'm going to be honest with you, deep waters kind of intimidated me. You know, I was that kid who was late learning to swim. I just throw it out there. You want to judge me, that's fine. Pick on me, that's fine. I got through it as a kid. I'll get through it now. It's okay. But I was just a little fearful. I mean, as long as my 2 feet could touch the bottom, I'm good. Like this is good. But in my mind, I knew I'm not a fish, and people and underwater just do not go together. So there was cause for concern, and I think this stemmed from one time at camp. I don't think Mom knows this story, and it's probably better if she doesn't. But about to find out. I was at camp one time, and I was like this camp brat, this camp nerd. My dad worked at camp doing night watchman and doing different things. So I was like a 5-year-old kid running around getting on everyone's nerves, like a senior at camp. And I apologize for that. And so we went to a lake. Not the lake there on camp. No, that's off. We went to another lake. It's a very vague memory, but I think this causes me to have fear into the deep water. So I was like 5 or 6. One of the counselors was a pastor friend. And he said, come on, Dave, you can go out with us. Where all the teens are at this lake, and he's had this big inflatable boat. Not a big one, but just one of those inflatable boats you get from Walmart. And so he's like, I'll pull you in this. I'm like, that sounds like good. Sounds like fun. So we're out there, and he's pulling me around. It's probably about 6 or 7 feet of water. I mean, it's not very deep. And so all of these senior high kids, they see this inflatable. They see this inflatable little raft, and what do you think they're all going to do? They're like, hey, let's all jump on this. So they all just come piling on. At some point, I get ejected from the inflatable. All right, Dad's back at camp, like, doing whatever Dad was doing at camp. You know, someone just said, hey, Dana, can we take your kid to the lake? He was like, that's fine. And it's church camp. I mean, I'll be okay. It's all good. And I get ejected from the raft, and I go under the water, and I had this experience of, like, not knowing what's going on. Like, I'm just under the water. Don't know how to swim. They didn't put a life preserver. That's crazy. Why would you put a life preserver on somebody? And all of a sudden, the guy who took me out there, just all of a sudden, just picks me up out of the water. And it just really freaked me out. I was like 8 or 9 until I kind of got used to, like, okay, it's cool. You can swim and you don't have to sink. But there was this apprehension about going out into the deep waters. And I wonder if there was any apprehension from Simon. I wonder if when we are invited with Jesus to go out into the deep waters, I'm just curious if we're ever apprehensive. Maybe things in our past have caused us to be a little apprehensive to take those steps of faith, to take a step of faith into a new life, into a new ministry, into a new calling that Jesus may be calling us to. What does it look like for you? If Jesus is going to call you out into the deep water, what does that look like for you? For some of you, it may look like just accepting Christ as your Savior. You may be here, have never accepted Christ as your Savior. And for you, the invitation to the deep water is this invitation to come and to allow His blood to wash over you, to cleanse you, to invite Him into your life and to your heart, and to begin this incredible new journey, this new life. For some of you who've been walking with the Lord for a while, it could be a call into holiness. It could be a call into this next step of obedience. But all of us, we have a deep water that I feel like if we were really serious, we're a little apprehensive about taking that step. So Jesus says, out in the deep water, He says, all right, y'all, we're out here. put your nets down. They had just finished washing their net. They had just finished wrapping all the stuff up that they needed to do because they'd been fishing all night. And Jesus says, put your net on this side out here. Drop your nets. It's going to be awesome. And Simon answered, Master. So, again, I want you to see a significant part of the relationship between Jesus and Simon. So Simon already, there's already this relationship here with Simon and Jesus. Because he refers to him as he says, Master, we've been fishing all evening. Look at verse 5. We've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let the nets down. Don't know what Simon's thinking. Maybe he's thinking, man, this is, I mean, if the guy who heals my mother-in-law from a fever says put your nets down, then you put your nets down. You know, if the guy who tells the demon in the synagogue to come out and it comes out, may want to listen to this guy. I don't know what's going through Simon's head, but Scripture says, he says, okay, because you say so, I will let the nets down. So think about that. Not only does Jesus want to call you out into the deep water, but the Master, he's going to call you out, and he's going to call you to be a part of some sort of ministry. He's going to call you to go and to be and to do something for him. And hopefully our response is, oh, well, Master, because you say so, we'll do it. Amen. Ever think about that? I mean, think about it. Anytime Jesus speaks to us, how come our response is not, well, Master, because you say so, then we'll do it. But we begin to ask questions. Well, Jesus, what? You know, I don't have the money for that. Well, you know, I'm busy at work. You know, man, they've been working me hard. You know, I could even begin to tell my employer, hey, listen, you know, on this time, on a Sunday or a Wednesday, I'll do anything for you, but this time I got to go because I'm doing something else. No, we're going to make excuses, but man, Simon, I love it. He says, because you say so? Yeah, let's do it. Look what happens. I mean, they put the nets down, and this huge catch begins to come in, this huge catch of fish so much, Simon's got to call the others, hey, y'all, come over here, I need your help. Get over here, hurry up. The nets are going to break. And this Scripture says that this catch, this fish was just this great catch. They were amazed. Again, it's one thing to hear the voice of God. It's a whole other thing to obey the voice of God, isn't it? When Simon realizes, look at verse 8. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet, or fell at his knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. You see, the call of Simon Peter and the other fishermen, it's a series of encounters that Jesus will have in which he demonstrates the gospel's power to move sinners to a place of healing. I love this. Simon recognizes that he's unworthy. He recognizes he's a sinner. But then Jesus says, at verses 10 and 11, he says, don't be afraid. From now on, you're going to fish for people. So I love this symbol. So get this. So the fact that Peter recognized that he was unworthy made him worthy and qualified. Catch that? I mean, that is what qualified Simon at this point. The fact that he recognized that this was more than a teacher, this was more than a person who could do miracles. And that's important, just kind of a Bible trivia note. There are other people in this time that were kind of golfing, doing some things and doing things that looked like miracles. So it's very significant that Simon here recognizes that this is more than a guy who can do some miracles. This is more than a guy who has powerful words. This is now Lord. And what makes him qualified is the fact that he recognizes, Lord, I am unworthy. And so Simon, he has this from now on moment. He has this moment in which all he's ever known was to fish. All he's ever known was to was to do the same thing over and over and over. And if this was a movie, you could kind of begin to hear the string section begin to fade up as Peter, as Simon Peter, begins to have this revelation that from now on, it's not about just being out in a boat and catching some fish. From now on, it's about following this one who is the Messiah. From now on, it's about this one who he has the words that speak authority and speak power into life. And from now on, this is where I want to be. So Simon Peter and the others, they see Jesus as more than just a great teacher. They see him, he's recognized as Lord, and we see their desire to follow. So the question for you is, are you willing to follow this morning? As we wrap it up, ask yourself this question, are you willing to follow this morning? There's two really neat pictures that you see here in this text. So the fact that Jesus calls disciples, I believe it is a prophetic word about the church. It's a prophetic word that the gospel is going to God didn't need anything, but the gospel is designed to enlist workers into the work of the gospel. So we see that in the call of the 12. Later on, he's going to call a 70 and send out a 70. And so in this picture, you see Jesus, he's beginning to embark on this ministry of proclaiming the kingdom, this ministry of proclaiming freedom for captives, this ministry of proclaiming sight for the blind, and he's going to enlist the help of others to proclaim this word. And so for you and for me today, the truth is still there that God is still, Jesus, he is still enlisting workers in the gospel. But who is willing to go out into the deep? Who's willing to go out into the deep and to let down their nets? We're invited, we're called. Who is ready for their from now on moment? Hallelujah. I mean, who is ready to take inventory of their life and realize, man, for the last 15 years, I've been doing the same thing and hanging out with the same friends, and I have this cycle of doing the same thing. Who is ready for their from now on moment? Mom's going to come and begin to play, and we're going to sing a song that's in your hymn book. Simply says, where you lead, I'm going to follow. And I feel like there's just a strong sense of God's presence here. There's a strong sense that there are people who are in this room who are tired of what they have been doing, and they're ready for their from now on moment. They hear the Lord speaking. They hear the Lord speaking, go out into the deep waters. Go out and drop your nets. And it's just a matter if we're going to say, sure, Master, because you say so. You see, for Simon, he recognizes that his way of doing things wasn't fulfilling, so he tried the Jesus way. And he saw that the Jesus way was so much more rewarding and fulfilling. In the Church of Nazarene, we have these things called altars, and it's a place of prayer. If you feel like that you want to enter into this from now on moment, whatever that looks like for you, it could be an initial salvation, it could be a moment of receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit and to grow into sanctification and to experience that work in your life of making him Lord of all your life, whatever it is, Jesus wants to meet that need this morning. And so as we sing, I want to invite you to stand. You're invited to come and to pray. You want me to pray with you? Just give me a signal and we'll come and we'll pray with you. But let's sing this song together.
Thank you for visiting CamdenFirstChurch.org.